my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where sometimes it doesn't feel that wonderful, but hey, you know, you work with what you got. You work with the situation that you're in. You take it one day at a time. You deal with what's in front of you, and you let things be what they are. You know, I tell you what, it's not easy. You guys, it is not easy. I know, you know, there's been a bunch of you that have been writing in recently, and I'm grateful to God that, you know, the messages that go out have been helping you and have been a strength and an encouragement to you and helped you, you know, with different things that you've been going through. I am truly, truly thankful that God has chosen to speak through these different things that have gone out in spite of myself, because I really, you know, I mean, for me, I've tried to stay in step with him, but I also realize that my best efforts have failed consistently time and again, and I realize the limitations of myself, and I have no trust in myself. I have no trust in my abilities. I have no trust in what man can do. And I've come to realize more and more, day in and day out, regardless of the context of life that God would have put me in, how if he doesn't show up, if he doesn't move the mountain, that mountain is going to stay there forever. If he doesn't walk on the water, that miracle doesn't happen. If he doesn't split the Red Sea, we're stuck on one side, surrounded by everyone. You know, if he doesn't do it, see, this is the thing. If he doesn't do it, we're done. And that is, as a reality to face and to come to grips and to come to terms with, when you realize you're all out of moves, when you realize that you cannot do it, when you realize that, you know, it's over. You know, and you repent, you turn, you stop trying to fix it, you stop trying to make things work, and you just be. You know, for myself, that's consistently been, you know, the thing that God just encourages me to do is, look, just be. You know, you just gotta let it go. And, you know, I've realized, there have been times that I've just realized where, you know, he will work on our behalf, but it's got to be him doing it and not us. And, you know, I wish that there was an easier way through this life for a child of God. I wish that, you know, that it wasn't such a struggle all the time. You know, I really do wish that, you know, there was a place of rest and peace, you know, on this side before we crossed over. But, you know, it doesn't stop. You know, I remember when I was probably maybe 21 at the time or so, and I remember there's a pastor that I respected a lot, and he's a very senior gentleman, probably in his 80s right now. And I was just having a talk with him, and I just like, you know, I asked him, does the breaking ever stop? You know, I mean, what we go through as a follower of Christ, does it ever stop? And he got a smile on his face, and he just kind of looked at me. He said, nope. I said, no. No, it doesn't. It keeps going. Look, it's going to be the part of life is it is going to be a struggle through this life in the sense that you and I, we were made different. We are being birthed into eternity. Look, if something is stillborn, it's not going to struggle because there's no life in it. Only that which has life in it in this paradigm struggles like this. And there's a reason for it. It's part of that process. God is making something out of His people. And He knows how much you can stand. He knows how much we can take. Sometimes I feel like he is rather generous in his estimation of me by the things that he puts me through. But he knows. He knows. He knows what you can take. He knows what I can take. He knows what we can handle. And it is His plan and purpose that matters. It is His glory that our life and our focus should be about. You know, I have realized as time has gone on, the things that are more and more, the things that are important, and the things that don't matter. Things that are important. Your walk with God is important. Your relationship with Him. Your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Being true to what God made you to be. And being true to the gifts and the talents that He's put in you as He empowers them by His Spirit. That's important. You know, not sweating the small stuff. That's important. Focusing on the majors. When you do focus on stuff, you know, friends and family, as per that they don't take you off of track. But yes, those relationships are important. You know, things that are not important. Your life in this world is not that important. Your position in this world is not that important. What people think of you in this world is not that important. You know, the challenges that we face is part and parcel of the experience that God called us to. And you and I have to always keep it in mind that God knows what He's doing with us. He really does. And the struggle that we face is a struggle that is faced by His body, by His children, those who belong to Him. This is what we face. This is what we go through. This is part of life. And God wants you to rise up into it and not to fold, not to wilt. But at the same time, you know, we accept our limitation. Look, if you could do it, you didn't need a Savior. Because, you know, the Spirit of God never stops speaking within us. You know, sometimes you can, if you just kind of stop and you listen within to your spirit man, you can hear that conversation going on within. You know, the Spirit groaneth inside of us with words that cannot be expressed, knowing what we need and knowing how to intercede and how to pray through all the things that we face, through all the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties that we as a people experience in this life. You know, look, this life is not easy. It's not. You know, it's interesting to me, the people that God draws to listen in on Faith Mix. You are a people that God has called. You are a people that God has drawn unto Himself. And you know, God's got a way of getting the message that is necessary to the people that He wants to have it too. Because, you know, the reason that something will minister to you, you know, I mean, there's people that I within the body of Christ that I listen to and that I receive, you know, from. And the thing that's interesting is, you know, because one joy supplieth the need of another. And with these people, the thing that's really cool with them is that the Spirit of God ministers through them for what it is that I need, where it is that I'm at in my walk and in my time. And, you know, likewise, the Spirit of God works through me, because I'm, you know, one of His as well, and this vessel is given over to Him for His purposes. So in that process, the Spirit of God works through me. What does it do? He ministers to you where you're at. And this is one thing that's happened time and again, is people from all over the world that have something that they're struggling with. You know, when you look and you ask, God will find a way to get that message to you. So, you know, sometimes it'll be through things that you read. Sometimes it'll be through words like this. Sometimes it'll be through prayer. God will speak into your spirit. He'll let you know. You know, you may just go outside. You may just see a sunset, and God will speak to you out of that, or in the clouds, or the breeze, or you'll see a flash of lightning, and you'll just get a revelation of God's creation and the fact that He has all things in control and according to His divine and perfect order. Whatever it is, you know, God's got His ways. God's got His ways of getting a message through to you as you need it. You know, the other day, I do recommend you guys read Brother Thomas's blog when you get the chance. BroThomasBlog.blogspot.com. You know, the other day, just some stuff that I was struggling with. And in the middle of it, you know, it's tough to see the forest, you know, in spite of the trees. When you're in the middle of some things, but you love God, you're just in the middle of some stuff. But God's got a way of getting that message through to you, what you need. And, you know, hey, I read something, blessed me. You know, it was exactly the word, applying exactly to what it was that I was in the middle of at the time. And you know, a right word in right season, the right time, that is a blessing from God. That is, you know, when you receive something like that, when God speaks to you somehow, some way, you should be jumping out of your chair. You should be thanking Him. Your hands should go up and you should be praising God. Why? Because realize something. The God that created this whole thing, the universe, the heavens, everything, put the breath in your lungs. He loves you and cares about you enough that He would make a way to get you the exact message that you need right now in the situation that you're in. And as He's done that for you, this is the God that made it all. This is the God that's in control of your eternal destiny. As He's done that for you, you know, what's the byproduct of that? Well, the byproduct of that is peace. Because if you realize that He's in control, and the things that He's doing and allowing are, you know, in your best eternal interest, and for your growth and development as a child of God in this world, so that you be not conformed to the world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you would face up to the reality of who He's called you to be and transition, and realize that because He's gotten that message to you, That's a clear indication that he's in control. Now, the God that made everything is in control, and he cares enough to get a message to you so that you also realize, hey, all is not for naught. All is not lost. Look, you can be surrounded by hordes of the enemy and tens of thousands of, you know, the worst type of enemy troop can surround you, and you can be all by yourself. Period. And if God speaks in that situation and returns them to dust, they all turn to dust. Period. That's it. Done. Over. If God decides to, he can wipe them out in 2 seconds, 1 second, half a second. He just blows a breath and they're all dead. You don't believe me? Go back and read the scriptures. He's done it before. Assyrian army, 186,000. Just overnight, killed them all. He didn't even do it. He sent his angel. Walked through the camp. God sent his agent on his behalf. He didn't even need to take care of that. He could send somebody else to do it. God sends his angel according to his plan and purpose. But when people speak out against the living God, when people raise themselves up against the Creator, the Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when they do that, they do that to their own hurt, and they put themselves in a very volatile, very dangerous situation. That's why God said, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." Oh, and he does repay. Oh, hey, make no mistake about it. God does repay. You know, he is merciful in that he gives people time to repent, time and space. But don't confuse his mercy for slackness or for weakness. His mercy is just that, his mercy. Why? Because when people die, when they're eternally cut off, that's it. There is no coming back. There is no way back for them. It's over. So before you would cut somebody off to the ratification of their choice and a Christless eternity and an eternal separation from him, isn't it merciful to give people time to repent? Isn't it merciful to give people time to get right? Though they even oppress and antagonize the children of God, though they even come after his people, isn't it in the long run, in the eternal scheme of things, isn't it the nice thing to do, the merciful thing to do, to give people the chance and the time to get right? And even if it stretches 10 years or 20 years, isn't it a merciful thing by a living God to give people that? Because, you know, when it's done, it's done. That's it. That's it. It's over. It's finished. No more coming back. No more chance. Nothing. And that's what's sad. You know, it's because when this whole thing's done and when they're cut off, it's over. Now, I feel bad about that. Part of me feels bad about that because, you know, the blood of Christ is sufficient for the remission of sins for everyone. The blood of Christ is sufficient for anyone to be made right. But to reject that is to embrace eternal damnation and to embrace eternal separation from your Creator. So, you know, as much as they may annoy you or hurt you or be terrible to you, you know what? Thank God that he gives them a little bit of time. And pray. Pray for your enemies and those who persecute you and speak vile against you, do all these manners of things. Why pray for them? Because you know what? You may be the only person in the world that may ever pray for them. You may be the only person in the world that ever cares about their eternal salvation. And God may just hear your prayer because you're one of his. He may just turn and be merciful. He may just take Saul and change him into Paul. He may just do that based on your prayer. You know, I kind of have a feeling that might be what happened with Saul, who later became Paul. I have a feeling that people listened to and believed the Word of God and believed the things that Jesus had said about praying for your enemies. And after Saul in particular killed Stephen, had him stoned, you know, I have this, it's just a feeling, but I have a feeling that those who were followers of Christ came together and prayed as led by the Holy Spirit for that man. And God responded on the Damascus Road, struck him to the ground, and brought him unto himself in a powerful way, and made something amazing out of him. God does that. You know, that's one thing too. You shouldn't sell out people. You shouldn't just, you know, allow them to, you know, even in your own mind, just say, well, okay, that's it. This person will never be right. It's over. And leave it there. Because you never know. And when God touches a person's heart, touches a person's life, things change. And the most vile person can turn into your best friend. Because it's not the person, it's the spirit within them. And when the Spirit of God makes inroads into a person's life, something changes. You know, I remember... Oh, gosh. I remember when I was... probably a freshman in college. And I remember there was, you know, just thinking of one guy in particular. Oh, this guy just grated on me. You know, it just was annoying to be around him. I don't know why. But there was just, you know, it just was tough to be around this person. But I remember there was a point where he bowed his knee before Christ. And he got right. And when he got right with the Spirit of God, all of a sudden, this guy became probably one of my best friends. What had changed? It wasn't the person. It was the Spirit within him. The Spirit within him changed the person. But, you know, the shell itself remained the same. It was still the same person. Same last name. Same, you know, but the Spirit within changed. And when the Spirit within changes, so does your experience. So does the way that you... And you don't know what that'll be. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You don't know what that change will be in the heart of another person. So don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. I know. You know what? I have come through so many things where, you know, there's that part in your humanity that just wants to hurt somebody back. Just wants to, you know... make them feel pain, you know, to the way that they made you feel pain. You know, make them hurt, make them suffer. You know that, but you know, when the Spirit of God grabs hold of you, and when you focus your heart on Jesus, and your face gets turned towards Him, when you do that, all of a sudden, your attitudes towards other people soften as well. You know, you don't want that eye for an eye. You don't want that tooth for a tooth. You would rather turn the other cheek. You would rather give up your cloak. You would rather walk a second mile. Because Jesus has done that in you. He's changed your heart. And God is looking for hearts that will follow Him. God is looking for people that see things from His perspective. And not from the eyes of the world. Not from the way the world does things. Not from the world's priorities. God wants a people that share His priorities. Where His priorities are theirs. His thoughts are their thoughts. His ways are their ways. His life is their life. His choice is your choice. God wants that. He wants it so that you would make a decision in yourself that His choice would be your choice. That is the prayer. God, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. What are you praying for? You're praying for His choice. His direction, His leadership, His guidance. And what you're doing is you're surrendering your right to choose, to God's will to choose. And when you do that, you open up the door for His direction of His Spirit and the power of His Spirit to animate the decisions and the choices that you make. You open that up because you've chosen it. See, unless you of your free will choose it, you'll never have it. See, this is one of the catches for a lot of people that they don't understand. Look, God is not going to override your free will. He's not. He's not going to override your decisions and your choices. You get to make decision, make choice, and you get to live with the consequences of your choices. So God wants you to choose this day whom you'll serve. He wants you to choose the path that you'll take. Because when you do that, you know, now you are on a path where you become part of that decision-making process. He doesn't want robots. He wants people that choose to be with Him, choose to walk with Him, choose to do the things of God. That's what He wants. He wants people that want to be with Him. You know, I used this analogy a long time ago, but, you know, who would want to be, who would want to be with somebody that didn't want to be with you? Like, what man would want to marry a woman that had eyes for somebody else? Or what woman would want to marry a man who didn't want to be with her? You know, no, you wouldn't. Ah, but alas, you know, God wants us to trust Him and to want to be with Him. But it's got to come from you. It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your free will for it to stick. And when it sticks, you then got to walk it out. And when the going gets a little bit tough in the decisions and the choices that you need to make, you need to trust God. And you need to ask Him, Lord, here's where I'm at. I'm stuck in a decision. I'm stuck in a spot. I don't know what to do right now. But I know that You know. I know that You are overall. I know that I wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't Your leading and guiding at this stage, because I've surrendered my life to You to do it as You please. And so if this is where I am, please just make the way so that I know where I'm going and give me that direction that comes from You and not me, not in my own intellectual thinking, not in my own understanding, not in my own plan and perception, not in myself. Lord, You give me Your direction. You give me Your plan. You make it clear to me what it is that You would have for me to do it, and let that be the way that I live life. Let me live life Your way, not mine, each and every day. So, Lord, we just trust You. Father, we just thank You, Lord. I thank You for my brothers and my sisters listening in. And I pray, Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and minds as they trust in You. Lord, You promise in Your Word that You would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You. And so right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we align ourselves and stay our minds on You. Lord, we pray Your will be done, and we trust You. And Lord, we just pray and ask that You would just protect and build up our brothers all over the world, strengthen us for the task at hand. We trust You and we go on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you guys. And hey, love you. Talk to you later. All right, bye.